Though. Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals this morning as we stand and sing again our final hymn prior to the message. Let's open up to 126. William Cowper wrote, speaking of the blood, and I love this hymn, this whole section here in the 120s. It's all songs on the blood. I love it. The devil hates the blood. Because the blood of Christ is that which cleanses us from sin. And he knows it. He knows it. First, third, and fourth, people. 126. Thank you, Lord. Piano sounds great. Gotta stop paying her more. Church, please be seated. Oh, wow. What a great, great hymn, William Cowper. Oh, boy. Well, we shall sing again afterward, folks. But at this time, let's grab our hymnal. let's grab our Bibles and open up to Luke's Gospel this morning. Any chapter, it's all good. But go to chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Well, praise the Lord as we come to Luke chapter 10 this morning, there's a great passage that I want to share with you that the Lord laid on my heart yesterday in between all of the busyness of setting up that new set and all that. Was quite busy, but I had time to get with the Lord. And here in Luke chapter 10, we have a number of things going on. Jesus Christ is right in the middle of his 3.5 year earthly ministry, going about preaching the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. He sends forth the 70 disciples to preach the gospel to the poor, to all who will listen. They return after great success in verse 17. Look at it. In verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy. Notice the word joy.
saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, notice here in verse number 17 that the disciples were rejoicing because they had a newfound power that was delegated to them through Jesus Christ. You have power. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning. Now look at verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. And notice the word rejoice. That the spirits are subject unto you. But rather rejoice. You can see this word over and over. Because your names are written in heaven. Amen. He says, I'm going to tell you something to rejoice in. Amen. Your names are in the book of life. The Lamb's book of life. You have eternal life in heaven above with Jesus Christ. I have no greater news for you this morning. But we come to verse 21. And here's my text. In verse 21, in that hour, Jesus, what?
Rejoiced
in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. Glory to God. I want to call your attention to verse 21. It says, Jesus rejoiced. And I want to speak to you a sermon I've entitled, The Joy of Jesus. The Joy of Jesus. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for this most incredible passage of Holy Writ. We thank you that in it we find the disciples rejoicing for the wrong reason. We find you rebuking them and showing them why they should rejoice, the right reason. And then we find you, Lord, rejoicing. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful this morning for this incredible passage that reveals to us that Jesus rejoices over us. What a privilege, what a blessing, what a glorious truth to know that the Lord of the universe, creator of all, rejoices over the likes of us. Wow! We love you this morning, Lord, and we want to make you rejoice through our lives. So bless your word as we preach on the joy of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, folks, interestingly here, this is the only instance on record in the Bible where our Lord is said to have rejoiced. You know that? Listen, Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief for our sakes. Yet he it was who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. What joy that was set before him? You and me. Listen, he was going to be crucified, and he rejoiced because he knew that you would trust him one day. Folks, listen to me. The joy of Jesus was a light from the lamps of the future, which were to be ignited by his death and resurrection. Now, the Greek word here in verse 21 for rejoiced actually means to leap for joy. It was real. Then Luke tells us, look at it, verse 21. He rejoiced in spirit. That is, he rejoiced within. He rejoiced deep down inside his heart. When you can fake rejoicing, you know. And not really mean, and you're miserable inside. Not Jesus. He was really joyful. Now, he's rejoicing in the inner man, in the spirit, where nobody could intrude. Listen to me. The devil wants to rob you of your joy, but he can't if you don't let him. Too many of God's people allow their joy to be stripped by the enemy. Now, I want to speak this morning on the joy of Jesus, and I want to give you three things, and I'll be done. First, I want us to notice the cause of his joy. Look with me here in Luke chapter 10. And notice the cause of his joy. Verse 21, we read in verse 21, in that hour, same hour the disciples came rejoicing because the devils were subject to them. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things. What things? The power of the Holy Ghost working through the disciples, rebuking the enemy. Look at it. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. What was the cause of his joy? Listen carefully. Jesus rejoices in the Father's revelation of the gospel. The gospel is being preached. Souls are being saved. And Jesus rejoices over it. Why? Because it's the Father's will. Listen carefully, beloved. It was not joy in the fame spreading abroad about him that caused him to rejoice. It was not joy in the miracles and signs and wonders which he was performing. It was not joy in the power over the enemy that he possessed. But the cause of his joy was that for the first time in history, his Father was revealing the gospel to the sons of men. The time had come for the Son of God to be made manifest to the world. He rejoiced in that. He didn't back away and say, oh, I don't think I'm going to go to that. I don't want to suffer. No, he rejoiced because he would bring a whole multitude to heaven with him. It brought joy to his heart. And brethren, we too must learn to rejoice in the things that God rejoices in. Amen? We need to rejoice in what makes Jesus rejoice. And when we come to that point where we begin to live our lives and Jesus Christ is the central hub and everything revolves around him, we joy in the things that he joys in. Oh, it's such a blessing to know that you can make Jesus rejoice. What was the cause of his joy? Folks were getting saved. Folks were understanding how to get to heaven. Look at verse 23. There in Luke 10, verse 23. And he, Jesus, turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Why? Why are they blessed? Listen to me. Because the Father had chosen to reveal his Son to them. That is so good. Jesus says, you have blessed eyes. You have blessed ears. You're blessed. Flat out blessed. I'm so thankful that Jesus came to old Bob Oliver October 3rd, 1986 and revealed himself to me. I can see him. I can hear his voice. I know him. Wow. What joy that brings to the heart. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hold your place in our text. In 1 Corinthians, go to chapter 1. Look what Paul says here. I am so thankful that you don't have to be the president of the United States. You don't have to be some rich billionaire. You don't have to be some famous Hollywood movie star or some sports hero to know Jesus. Amen? Look at it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, talking to saved people, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and base things of the world. And things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. He says, you have been chosen. You may not be a Arnold Schwarzenegger bodybuilder, but you may be weak, but that doesn't matter. Jesus has revealed himself to you. That brings such joy to his heart. Look at chapter 2 if you're still in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2, look at verse 9. We read it, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard. That's the majority of planet Earth. neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Look at it. Verse 10. But, I love those buts in the Bible. But God hath what?
Revealed
them unto us. Who is the us of verse 10, somebody? Saved people. Thank you, Don. It's you and me who know Jesus Christ. They've been revealed to us. How? Through the Scripture, by the Spirit of God. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Look at it. Verse 14. But the natural man, the lost man, the unregenerate, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. He says you can't know God until you're spiritually reborn. Amen? And then he reveals himself to you. I love the fact that Jesus is so condescending that he would come to you and want to spend time with you. He wants to sup with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to reveal himself to you. Why? It brings him joy. It's the cause of his joy is revealing himself to the sons of men. Realize also, beloved, that Jesus is rejoicing in the plan of the Father's design in revealing himself to mankind through the death, burial, and resurrection that he himself would shortly undergo. That's why he was rejoicing. Jesus set his face like a flint to go up to Jerusalem. He never backed down from the Father's will. He said, I will endure that suffering for all of them. Oh, I love the fact that he, the cause of his joy, is found in verse 21. For that thou hast revealed them unto babes. That's newborn. Babes, that's newborn Christians. You're a newborn child of God, you know. Folks, listen, many years ago, a man who was deeply depressed, almost suicidal, he went to see a famous London doctor. The doctor told him, you need to laugh a bit more. You need to be around people. You should go down and hear Grimaldi, the famous clown of all of London, is holding its sides laughing at him. He's so funny. Grimaldi was one of the most famous clowns ever. Just then, the man straightened himself up and said, Doctor, I am Grimaldi. I am Grimaldi. See, Grimaldi could make so many people laugh. He could make so many people get joy and rejoice. But he was a miserable man because he didn't know God. He was suicidal. I am Grimaldi. Who's going to make me laugh? I'll tell you who. A man named Jesus. He'll put a joy in your heart that the devil himself can't take away. The cause of true joy can only come from the gospel of grace. But something else this morning, beloved. Secondly, not only the cause of Jesus' joy, but secondly, observe his mode of expressing that joy. I like this. Look at the mode, the method of his expressing that joy. Verse 21 again. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father. For so it seemed good in thy sight. Glory to God. I hope somebody heard what Jesus said there. Because unlike the manner in which most people express their happiness over some carnal acquisition, the dear Lord Jesus gives us a holy and sanctified example of how we are to express our joy before God. Three ways he shows his joy, the mode of expressing it. First, he expresses thanksgiving to the Father. Look at it. Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Now, folks, listen very carefully. When Jesus says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, what he is saying is, Lord, I thank thee that thy will is being done. His first manner or mode of expressing that joy is worship. See that in verse 21? I praise thee, O God, my Father. I thank thee. You know what? We got a bunch of unthankful people in the world today, huh? Amen. This generation, they want everything. I thank God for young Jason. What a fine young man of God he is. You know, you notice he put his own offering envelope in the plate this morning. You notice that? His mom taught him right. And you know what, folks? Listen, we got a generation of kids who don't know God, and they don't have any desire to worship Him. They're unthankful. They want it now. You get me that Xbox 360 and I want it tonight. Listen, folks, he first expresses thanksgiving and worship to the Father. That's a great mode, a way of expressing joy, amen? But secondly, he proclaims the Father's sovereignty in his joy. Look at it. Verse 21. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. That's who he is. He's Lord over the animal kingdom. He's Lord over the oceans. He's Lord over the mountains. He's Lord over the valleys and the plains and everything in between. He's Lord. He's sovereign. That brought great joy to Jesus' heart. He's trying to show you what to rejoice in. Do you rejoice in the fact that your Father is King over all in time and eternity? He is. Oh, it doesn't look like it right now because you got ISIS and you got corrupt politicians. You got all this wickedness, murders, and terrorists in the streets. But I guarantee you, he's in control.
Amen.
He's in control. What? Because he's sovereign. And he's going to come back and straighten it all out. He rejoiced in that, the Father's sovereignty. But thirdly, how did he express that joy? Thirdly, he rejoiced in the Father's will being done. Look at it. Verse 21. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Wow! Now, notice the wording here. It seemed good in thy sight, meaning it's thy will, Father, not mine be done, but thy will be done. That the gospel is being revealed, that souls are getting saved. And this is what Jesus is rejoicing in, that the Father's will was being done. The Father's will included his sacrificial vicarious sufferings on the cross for us. But he rejoiced in it. He didn't shy away from it. Folks, you know what you need to do? You need to rejoice in God's will for your life. When you begin to rejoice in whatever God places in your path, and say, I will rejoice, whether it be good or bad. It's my Father's will. He's allowing me to go through it. And I'm going to rejoice, devil. You will defeat him. He will flee. Every time. It seemed good in thy sight, O Lord. So it seemed good in mine, Jesus was saying. Isn't that good? That'll preach. Listen, beloved. We need to learn from Jesus today the proper mode of expressing our joy. We need to express thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father for what He's doing through our lives. We need to proclaim the Father's sovereignty to a lost and dying world. Tell them, God is on the throne. You need God. Thirdly, we need to rejoice in the Father's will being done through our lives. During World War II, there was a formal banquet held in Moscow. The United States Chamber of Commerce President Eric Johnston and American author William White, both strong Christians, were cordially invited to attend. And while they sat and listened to their hosts sing many Russian songs, they were getting drunk, they were suddenly requested by the Russians to sing an American song for them. Johnston and White responded by singing loudly, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam all along my life. That old Sunday school hymn. That's what they say. You know why? Because they wanted them to know that Jesus is Lord, even if they didn't believe it. Amen? They sang, all right. You sure you want us to sing? Listen, folks, we've seen the cause of his joy. It was the revelation of the gospel being manifest. We've seen the mode of his expressing that joy in three ways. But finally, hear his explanation of the Father's design in all this. Look at verse 21 again. And hear Jesus' explanation of the Father's design in all this. 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me. of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Wow! Jesus says, you want to know God? You can't without me. Wow! That's what he said in verse 22. He said, I'm the only one in the universe that knows the Father, and the Father's the only one in the universe that knows me. Till now. Because he adds something at the end of the verse we're going to get to. Now listen carefully. Indeed, we must hear the Son's explanation of the Father's design in all this. Beloved, listen closely. God the Father knows exactly what he designs in all that he does, in every life. I want to suggest three irreversible designs of the Father from this passage. First, the Father has designed it so that all things in the scope of time and eternity belong to his Son. Amen? He has designed it that his Son owns everything. He's the Joseph of eternity. You've got to go to the storehouse through Joseph if you want something. That's Jesus Christ. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills. He owns it all. Why? Verse 22, all things are delivered to me of my Father. He just got through telling them in verse 21 that his Father is Lord, capital L, of heaven and earth. That means he owns heaven and earth. And then he says, he gave it all to me. I love it. Folks, Jesus didn't pull any punches. He told the truth. Amen? Now listen. Everything, all things that were created, visible and invisible, they all belong to Jesus Christ. And that is because the Father has delegated all authority to his Son. He says, all things. Not some things, all things are, present tense, delivered unto me of my Father. But secondly, something else we must see and hear his explanation of the Father's design. First, that Jesus Christ owns everything. Second, that the Father has designed it so that no man can know who God is by human effort. Did you hear what I said? No man can know God by human effort. That means you can't get to God through religion. You can't get to God through philosophy. You can't get to God through education. You know, we've got some people that are overeducated. The guy's been in college for 14 years and he still doesn't know what he wants to major in. I mean, it's crazy, man. You need Jesus Christ. Now, listen carefully. The Father has designed it so that no person can know who God is by human effort. Look at verse 22. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And some men? No man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. Do you know what Jesus Christ just said? He just said that nobody knows who God is apart from me. You can't know him. This is a serious truth this morning, because we got a bunch of people in the world that are Buddhists and Hare Krishnas and Muslims and all kinds of crazy religions that can't reach God because they try to bypass his Son. Jesus said, it won't work. You need me. Now listen carefully. Human effort, religion, cannot reveal to a man who God is. Philosophy, with all of its humanistic reasoning, cannot reveal who God is. Science can tell us the number of galaxies within range of the Milky Way, but they can't tell you who God is. Why? They don't know him. They don't know his Son, therefore they don't know God. You know, you see this guy in Washington, D.C.? Makes me sick, I tell you. The chaplain of the White House? He's a perfect... The guy makes 220 grand a year for doing what? For getting up and praying over the Senate and over the House of Congress. Oh God, bless our country. Oh, and I don't mean to poke fun, but how's he end his prayer? Amen, amen. He don't pray in Jesus' name. He's not, his prayer's not reaching God. That is a mockery of God. Oh God, amen. Who are you praying to, buddy? Who are you being paid all this money to be the White House chaplain? That guy couldn't lead a dead dog to Jesus Christ because he doesn't know him himself. You got to know God, and you got to know him through his Son. Thirdly, listen carefully. The Father has designed it so that He Himself cannot be reached apart from coming to His Son. You ever try to reach somebody on the phone? Man, you just can't get a hold of that person. What is it? They're busy, their phone is off the hook, or what? You can't get a hold of them. That's how God is. Apart from His Son, you can't get a hold of Him. Listen carefully. Look at verse 22. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. Folks, there's three persons in verse 22, not two. There's the Father who knows the Son. There's the Son who knows the Father. But then there's a third party. It's he or she whom He, Jesus, will reveal Him, the Father, to. You see it? I'm so thankful this morning that He revealed Him to me one day. And I now know Him. I know that I know that I know. Brethren, realize the extent of this truth today. That every single person on planet Earth who is attempting to reach God by bypassing His Son, Jesus Christ, is going to be eternally disappointed over that effort. Why? Let us diligently seek to show them the love of Jesus, the light of Jesus, and of course the joy of Jesus. He rejoices in revealing Himself through the truth of the gospel to all those who will receive it. But sadly, folks, you're in the minority this morning, because the majority of this world's population rejects your Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you this in closing and I'll be done. The joy of Jesus is in seeing souls coming to Him for salvation. So listen to some recorded prayers of various men of God that down through the ages that understood what the joy of Jesus was all about. George Whitefield, the great preacher, evangelist, said, "O Lord, give me souls or take my soul." Henry Martin, missionary to India, cried as he knelt on India's coral sands, "Lord, here, let me burn out for you." John Mackenzie, a young missionary candidate, knelt and prayed on the banks of the Lossie, "O Lord, send me to the darkest spot on earth." Wow. Praying Hyde, a missionary to India, pleaded, "Father, give me these souls or I die." Why? Why did these men pray that way? It's because they all understood and shared in the joy of Jesus by bringing souls to Him. Now let me ask you a question this morning. Do you want to share in the joy of Jesus in your life? Do you want to experience that glorious divine rejoicing that only comes through Jesus Christ? Well, you'll have to do what Jesus did. You'll have to lead souls to heaven. Amen? And there's only one way we can do it. By leading them to Jesus Christ and the joy that He offers. Father in heaven, how we thank You this morning. Oh, for the joy of Jesus. It was not a carnal, materialistic joy at all. It was a spiritual joy that nothing could take away, not even the cross. Lord, it says there in Hebrews chapter 12 that He endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before Him. That joy was you and I. Every saved soul, the body and bride of Christ, that He would redeem and that He would take to the Father and present to the Father one day as a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. All the joy of the Father in the accomplishment of His Son. Wow. Lord, we've got so much this morning in our lives to rejoice over, simply because of the fact that verse 22 says, "And to them to whom He will reveal Him." Lord, I believe our names are written down at the end of that verse because He has revealed the Father to us. He has revealed His bleeding hands and side. Lord, we thank You that Jesus has humbled Himself and became obedient even unto the death of the cross, that He might be revealed to us. Yes, Lord, the likes of sinful us. How unworthy, Lord, are we to even speak Thy glorious name. And yet, You love us so much that the Bible says the Father loves us as He loves His own Son. We can't fathom that, Lord. We can't comprehend that kind of love. The depth of that love. The unconditional act of that love. That nothing we can do can make you love us less. And nothing we can do can make you love us more. Thank you, Father, this morning for who you are. And for revealing your Son to us. And thank you for the accompanying joy of Jesus that we receive. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people said, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. We shall stand and sing out for a hymn of invitation. Maybe your joy hasn't been up to par lately. Maybe the enemy's been getting you down. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you that you can rejoice no matter what your situation is. Amen? And I'm so thankful that the reason we can rejoice is because of the fact that one day we shall gather at the river above. 88, hymn 88, we'll sing the first, second, and third of hymn 88, folks. One of our favorites. Because it says, we shall gather at that river. Yes, indeed. Altar is open.
Shall we gather at the river where bright angels meet and fall with its crystal tide forever, holy by the throne of God?
Think about it. Yes!
The beautiful river, gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Time out, church. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, thank you for the message this morning. And thank you for the reasons, the cause of Jesus' joy that we've seen from the Word of God. Lord, I pray that we, like Jesus, would learn to rejoice in the things that the Father rejoices in, and not the things of this world. But by an uplifted hand, you might say, Pastor, the Lord has spoken to me through this message this morning. By an uplifted hand, you say, pray for me. Nobody looking around. I see that hand. I see that hand, and I see that hand. I see that hand, and I see that hand. Put them down. Father, you've seen these uplifted hands. The enemy is trying to rob us of our joy. And Lord, I'm so thankful that we don't have to allow it anymore. Lord, I'm so thankful that when those disciples came back in verse 17, they rejoiced because the devils were subject to them in thy name. I'm so thankful that nothing's changed in the past 2,000 years. The demons of Satan are subject to us in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name. And therefore, the enemy cannot rob me of my joy in Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you to bless your people. Every hand that was lifted, restore that joy and keep that joy burning brightly in these last days. Lord, the enemy will throw all kinds of circumstances into our life to attempt to strip us of that joy. Because Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He doesn't want us to have your joy, but that's too bad. We thank you for the victory that we have through thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. On the second. A third.
It's the shining river. Can beat every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and a crown.
Oh, yes, we'll
cover that river. The beautiful river. Gather with the saints. Shining river, soon a pilgrimage shall see. Soon our happy days will quiver with the melody of peace.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful throne of God.
Folks, I got to tell you this morning in closing, you are a blessed people because you're heading for that glorious divine river that flows by his throne. And we'll sit at his feet and we'll worship him and we'll praise him. And we'll thank him for all that he's done in our lives. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for a good service. Lord, I thank you for the joy that is in the church. And I thank you, Lord, that that joy, Lord, that joy comes from the Spirit of Christ within. Lord, you can't fabricate it. You can't buy it at Walmart. It's a joy from within. Jesus rejoiced in spirit. And that Holy Spirit within us causes us to rejoice in you. Lord, we love you this morning. We ask you to bless us as we dismiss. And Father, help us this week to share that joy with some lost soul, some defeated, discouraged, depressed person who needs the joy of Jesus. Oh Lord, it's the only answer for this world. They need the joy of Jesus. It'll make all the difference in the world. We thank you for it this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Tonight at 6, if you're able, we'll be back at it.